Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 51 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the life-loving, love-loving, Kellyanne loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. As I mention every week, you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I have put a link to that back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And I know I am not the only one who is Kellyanne Lovin. I'm talking about Kellyanne Maddox of the Four Queens. I've already gotten a lot of messages from you guys saying, yay, I love Kellyanne. I'm so excited she's going to be on the show, and today is the day. She is on the show, and she is here to talk to us today about chaos magic. So, yay! Hello, Kellyanne. Are you there?
I am here. Yeah, I can't believe you're on episode 51. Well done you. That's prolific, isn't it?
Thank you. I know, I'm kind of excited to get to say that now too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well done.
Thank you very much. I think we should start today by trying. I know that it's hard to do, but can you try to explain to us what chaos magic is? Just
yes,
in
I
general?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I know you copied something from a blog post, I believe, maybe, and posted it to your Facebook earlier with a description,
yeah,
which was typically wordy and verbose, that description, actually. But I think I could try and make it a bit more simple. I would say that it is a modern system of magic which emphasizes pragmatism and creativity above tradition and structure. That would be it in one sentence, I would say.
I love that. I relate to that. Actually, I think you're the one that turned me on to chaos magic first. I can't remember which came first. I have a book called Hands-On Chaos Magic, and then you made that video about chaos magic. I think, did you make a couple or just one?
Yeah, I've made a couple. I made one for chaos and customization, which was very popular with people that were interested in learning more about chaos magic. That was quite a while ago, and that was really about how I implement it in my practice.
Nice. Well, for me, I think it's one of those things where I was like, oh, that is me. I love when somebody gives me a term that kind of describes what I'm already doing. You know what I mean? And so what would chaos magic look like? As an example, I know it looks different for every person.
Yeah, I mean, it's an anti-system. So really, it's the opposite of a tradition. I suppose the only thing traditional about it is the fact that it's a useful umbrella term for people who like to, like, stick together by sticking apart, I suppose you could say. But a chaos magician or chaos witch or chaote or chaote, however you want to say it, would generally select from different traditions the aspects and elements that spoke to them, and they would be comfortable with using belief as a fluid tool. That's really the other prerequisite. Chaos magicians believe in pragmatism over and above believing that something is ultimately true or believing that you have to stick to one set tradition. So really we're looking for what works, and this means combining and mishmashing and using syncretism and just exploring different avenues and seeing how we can marry them together in a structure which works for our own needs. So this was very appealing to me too, because it appeals to my sense of being multifaceted. I think that a lot of people, when they've been on their path for a long time and they've been embracing this tradition, or maybe they're eclectic and they've carved out their own tradition, feel this slump or this desire to kind of get outside of that box and like collapse it with a sharp knife. And I think they feel that potentially because they could do with maybe like a little sprinkle of chaos magic. I'm not saying they need to adopt the moniker by any means, because it's quite in depth and I would recommend that you read quite a bit before you do that. But I do think that traditions could stand to be a little more fluid, and if you recognize the amount of stuff that speaks to you, that inspires you in your daily life, why wouldn't you want to add that to your circle? Why wouldn't you want to make that sacred and put it into your practice? And I think, you know, that's something that a lot of eclectic witches are starting to vibe with now, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like the next step for somebody who has a really eclectic practice, maybe, just to explore it. Like I said, I have this one book, which is really cool because it's...
I've lost you.
Do you have that one?
I can't hear you at all.
I'm here. Hello?
I'm so sorry. Oh, it's cool in the UK. What can I say? Carry on, sorry.
Okay. I have this one book, Hands on Chaos Magic, and I still feel like I keep dipping into it. It's pretty like a cool overview, but I think for sure I'll do more exploring in this because it seems like the next step for someone who has a really eclectic practice. And I think what differentiates it, and please tell me your opinion on this because you are my guest today, but for me what differentiates it is it's more of like a fly by the seat of your pants kind of thing, and what works, and like I have a spell that I jokingly call the Hubba Bubba spell about, you know, blowing a bubble with your gum and, you know, just really random stuff like that, but it works and it's not really all that sacred maybe from the outside looking in. Is that something that you would consider chaos magic, or am I off base here with your take on it?
Yeah. Definitely. I think basically you've got one half of it completely nailed in that it welcomes the absurd. And, you know, a lot of people that are interested in chaos magic feel that their imagination is the key faculty that they bring to the circle, or indeed just to sacred space if they don't cast a circle. They believe that they should use their imagination and get in touch with it because, of course, if you really think about the astral realm, what it really is, it's the unfettered, untapped, wild imagination, the imagination that's out of control of the ego. And that's the biggest power we have. I mean, where do ideas come from? Like, there's a source there, and that is imagination. So there is that idea of using that, and there is also that idea of getting rid of sentimentality, getting rid of stringent tradition, sorry, in any way that kind of entraps you or ensnares you or makes you feel bored or makes you feel like unworthy or makes you feel like you're part of a hierarchy. Chaos magic just does away with all of that completely. It does welcome the absurd. It definitely welcomes humor. But I think there's this other aspect of chaos magic which is really important to understand. And sometimes I get a little bit concerned when I explain chaos magic to somebody and they immediately say, oh, that's totally me, because I think this is one thing that maybe needs to be gotten clear for a lot of people. Chaos magic really embraces the idea of belief as a tool, meaning that, as the maxim goes, nothing is true, everything is permitted. And that is very uncomfortable for a lot of people because, you know, the ego likes to embrace core beliefs. Core belief is part of who we are as human beings. And when you try and deconstruct your ego, deconstruct your beliefs, get rid of the idea that anything is the case, and instead embrace the possibility that one thing can be the case for 5 minutes and something else can be the case for the next 5 minutes. That's very disconcerting. You have to be very, very strong in your core to be able to do that and then ultimately get back to yourself. And I believe in my heart of hearts there's definitely a KO in you, but I do sometimes worry that a lot of people are kind of maybe whitewashing over that aspect of it, which is actually very complex, if you see what I'm saying.
I do. Is that, would you say that's different from, I often say I live for the mystery and, you know, what's true for you isn't true for me. What's true for me right now might not be true for me tomorrow. And that's just something that for me came out of studying a lot of different religions. I lost my belief a long time ago. and I think that was just like a natural progression. Or are you talking about something even beyond that?
Yes, I'm talking kind of about something beyond that. I have, as myself, in my ego self, core beliefs. I am a pantheist. I think I'm going to be a pantheist tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a pantheist on my deathbed. And I was a pantheist last week. So that's my core belief. That's my worldview. And what ego deconstructive magic is all about, which is a part of the chaos magic paradigm, is it's about making sure that you don't get too glued to that, because really the mind of the magician or the mind of the witch should be so free, so open, so flexible, so malleable that you are not concerned about hanging on to that. You are concerned about jumping off and being in the ether and like exploring what you can. But then I feel personally, I don't know how other chaos witches might feel out there, but I really feel personally that it's important to be able to then get back somehow into your sense of ego. Not so you can, you know, grab onto it really desperately and say, this is who I really am, but so that when you're coming back from those other places, those wild places where maybe you've wanted to shift into Satanism as a paradigm for a week, so you've been like anxiously reading LaVey and like visiting satanic churches because you want to get into that paradigm because it suits the work that you're doing for that time, you must then be able to come back to what one would call abstractly yourself. So I do have a self, and I do have some core beliefs, and I'm not saying that I completely don't have them at any time. I'm saying that I can easily shift in and out of them, and I can embrace another paradigm with the greatest degree of with ease at this point, kind of thing.
Cut you out, but I think we got the gist of it. It just cut out for a second. Yeah, gosh, so many images come to mind. I think a lot about psychology and, I mean, the ego is so necessary. You have to have an ego to function in this world, or you're going to be locked away somewhere because you just can't make it in the world without it. So yeah, being able to come back to that is very important. And it's interesting what you're describing sounds a lot like being a shapeshifter, which I know is something that interests a lot of witches. It's sort of like a psychological shapeshifter, or not even shifting from shape to shape. It's being like nothing in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that idea. And I think that speaks somewhat to the idea too. So I would definitely say that's a similarity for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, can you give us an example of, I guess you just kind of did, with, have you personally explored like a Satanism week like you were just talking about?
I actually feel quite connected to the Satanism paradigm and way of being. In fact, I live with a Satanist. He's a funny guy. He cleans the house awesome and then sits there on the couch relaxing, reading Anton LaVey and like listening to metal. So he's like, he's a very housebroken Satanist, and I love discussing with him these different ideas because, I mean, I realize this isn't a show about Satanism, but what people really don't realize about Satanism is it's really hyper-inflated atheist. They don't think Satan is God. They think that they themselves are God, and they use Satan as this kind of tasty parody of the ruling religion. So I actually really enjoy that. But yeah, I have definitely danced around in other areas. For example, I'm a pantheist, and I don't believe in personified deity, as in, you know, interventionist beings who listen to me on another plane. However, I slip into that paradigm with the greatest of ease because I feel it's the best way to worship the archetypes that are my matron and patron. So if I make offerings to them and if I talk to them as though they are real, and even if I make petition to them as though they are interventionist, it makes it more powerful for me. So that's belief as a tool in a nutshell, like, you know, acting like it when you're not it. But it's more than acting. It's really getting into it. It's really believing it for that time and then setting it aside when you don't need it anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's so much like method acting. I don't know if you've ever studied method acting, but it's getting into a place of belief that you wear for a period of time. You can be a murderer, you know, and you find a way to tune in to what it feels like to be a murderer, even if you've only ever murdered an ant. You connect with that impulse, and for that period of time, you are a murderer. And then, of course, at the end of the day, you take that off and you go back to being yourself.
Absolutely, and that's such an awesome point. I'm so glad you brought that up, because Phil Hine says in one of his books, I can't remember whether it's Condensed Chaos or Prime Chaos, but he says that, you know, belief as a tool and shifting paradigms takes a lot of discipline, a lot of effort. It's not something that you just, you know, wake up one day and think, I'm going to be a Satanist, or I'm going to be a nihilist, or I'm going to be a Hindu, or whatever. It takes a great deal of dedication, and it's really a way to train the mind. You know, if you really believe that the craft is an incredible discipline, and it takes a great deal of depth and forethought and discipline and structure, that's exactly what paradigm shifting is about. And that's why I think it's so ironic that chaos magic has such a mad, bad and dangerous reputation for, you know, these things that people say about chaos magicians being cavalier and flippant and irresponsible and all of that kind of thing. And I think paradigm shifting and, you know, belief as a tool, that they take ultimate you know, structure, ultimate discipline, ultimate dedication to the cause. So it's kind of weird that there's that reputation because it doesn't hold true whatsoever.
Yeah, for me it feels irreverent, which I always actually relate to. And you can have reverence within irreverence, in my opinion. It's really about other people's perception of what you're doing. I think sometimes I come off as flippant, but for me something is absolutely real and I'm experiencing it. And I may say it with a giggle or a wink, but that really doesn't take away from my experience. And I think, you know, my book that I was talking about, Hands-On Chaos Magic, I've noticed people consider that book to be very fluffy and irreverent, and it's the only book I have on this subject, so I have not gotten very far into it. Can you talk a little bit about what books you think are good for further exploring this topic and maybe books that wouldn't be considered so fluffy?
Yeah, of course I will. Yeah, there are some things that you, like, hands down, should be on the reading list if you want to understand chaos magic and take it further. Chaos magic was actually, the idea of chaos magic itself and that specific outline was birthed by two guys called Ray Sherwin and Peter J. Carroll. Peter J. Carroll went on to become a very prominent figure in chaos magic, and he wrote two books called Liber Null and Psychonaut. Liber Null is two words, L-I-B-E-R and then N-U-L-L, and Psychonaut. Mm-hmm. Liber Null came out in 78, I think, just a few years after he invented this this new kind of idea. And I think Liber Null and Psychonaut are both, you know, what I would consider to be required reading. However, they're not really my favorite books on chaos magic. Anyone who's listened to me bang on about it before will know that Phil Hine is like my one, my only. and his books, Condensed Chaos and Prime Chaos, which came out with a decade between them, they're really, really good. They have a very specific flavor. He's very dry. He's very humorous. He cuts to the quick sometimes, and he's very English. But if you can get your head around that and you like that kind of thing, he will give you a totally new spin on magic and a totally fresh perspective on it, and you do actually not need to be getting into chaos magic to appreciate his fresh kind of flavor and take on things, because it's very different to a lot of the traditional books you'll read about witchcraft that you'll be able to get hold of. His flavor is totally distinct and really different, and kind of like, he's a bad boy. I love it. He invented a cat on a skateboard as a sigil for, like, moving traffic. How awesome can you get?
That's what I mean by irreverent. Although, I for me, when I find people that are into chaos magic, they seem to take themselves extremely seriously, and that it does not resonate with me. That's one thing that I just don't. I don't know why. When people get, like, very intense about, you know, what they're into, usually that kind of turns me off. But maybe I'm missing something, because I know when I mentioned doing this interview to you, you were saying, oh, I don't, you know, it's, you felt like a protectiveness about this information because you didn't want to put it out there in a way that would invite, I guess, maybe people like me to, you know, be like, oh, I love that. That sounds cool. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. Firstly, just going back to what you were saying about experiencing people with a really kind of intense and unpleasant attitude towards their spirituality when they are chaos magicians or chaos witches, I would say I don't have a great deal of correspondence online with other people who practice chaos magic. I am on a forum, and I'm a lurker on that forum. I don't really post. I've been considering it on and off. And I would agree that there is kind of this there is a certain segment of people who are kind of really up their own bums about it, I guess. But that's not really chaos magic, you know. That's not really chaos magic, you know. That's occultism in general. And I think that's why a lot of occultists can be quite defensive, because people that embrace alternative spirituality but kind of keep occultism at arm's length. And by occultism, I mean kind of like things that are not necessarily popularized and widely accessible about witchcraft. I guess that's the best I can put it at the moment. People that are kind of into, I don't know, what would you call it? Like the, I want to say the darker side, but not in a Jungian way. Like, obviously everything is light and dark, but I guess most people listening to this will know what I mean by occultism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very specialist, and it's very like going down the rabbit hole. and it's kind of a pissing contest about who knows the most about what, and everybody's kind of nitpicking the little details of, oh, well, no, I think you'll find if you read this grimoire from 1929 or whatever, and a bit of a pissing contest, and that can be unfortunate in a lot of ways too. So I did want to go back to that, but I can't remember the second part of what you were saying, something about...
Well, you were talking about being protective of this information, and just talking about this subject in general, like, why would that be?
Okay, well, firstly, I'm not interested in getting involved with the pissing contest. What I am interested in doing for people who are interested in hearing it is boiling chaos magic down into something accessible and easier to learn than it would be if you had to kind of go through the back catalogue of Phil Hine and Peter J. Carroll. I always say to people, if you're interested in actually following this path, read, you know, don't come to me, read, make your own decision. It's very important. And I would never teach chaos magic for that reason, because I do not believe it can be taught. But if people just want an overview and people are curious about what I do and people are curious, as so many people who practice the craft are, we are magpies intellectually. You know, Graham Harvey once said that if Christians are the people of the book, then pagans are the people of the library. Like, we love it. We just love to know. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do. We just want to know. And what I want to do is make it accessible and easy to understand for people who want to know. And I think that if certain people who are interested in donning their black cloaks and being armchair occultists and, like, having a pissing contest hear a radio show where I'm trying to boil chaos magic down for a very open-minded audience, they might be tempted to try and start a pissing contest with me, and I wouldn't want that. I'm not interested in that. That's not my flavour. But the other important reason why I'm sorry, I've got something in my throat. There we go. Live on the radio. Haven't had anything in my throat all day. Suddenly I'm live on the radio. But the other reason that it's important for chaos witches and chaos magicians to keep this stuff on the down low is because we've got a bit of a reputation. In fact, there's a Wikipedia article about chaos magic, which is impressively informative and extensive. I thought it was just going to be about 5 lines long. But I checked it out to see to see what kind of stuff it was saying. And on the Wikipedia article, it actually states that chaos practitioners are often seen as dangerous or worrisome revolutionaries. And Phil Hine once said that people in the magical community fear chaos practitioners because we worship gods that didn't exist 5 minutes ago. And that's a perfect way of saying it, because I think people are just alarmed by what looks like really cavalier, really absurdist parody practices, which are either intending to make us go completely batshit insane, or are just intended to mock the whole process entirely. I think people sometimes look at chaos and think you don't know what you're getting yourself into, or they think that we've in some sense unhinged. I don't want to contribute to that idea, but I also, you know, like, I like the idea of being mad, bad, and dangerous to know. I don't mind that reputation either. It's quite fun because I know it's not the case. It's like punk rock magic
in a way, and I love all things. I like punk rock as a experience, as a way of being in the world and looking at the world. It's not about, like, dressing a certain way or looking a certain way. And I think that chaos magic feels very punk rock to me, and kind of what the hippies were trying to do before that became commercialized, and then, you know, the punks came in, so... To me, all these things are very similar.
Yeah, I love that, punk rock magic. That's another awesome expression. So as much as I embrace all of this stuff and I love this stuff, I am aware that there are certain people. I mean, somebody left a comment under one of my videos the other day that said, thanks for letting us know a bit more about chaos magic. I don't intend to ever practice it because I've heard that it can be extremely dangerous. Mm. And this is the kind of thing that I regularly hear. You know, people have told me it's really dangerous. People have told me I'll lose my mind. And I suppose part of the ultimate aim of chaos magic is to temporarily lose your mind in order to then strengthen your mind as a magical tool. But, you know, you have to be, I feel I have to be kind of careful how I talk about it and what I say. And in a way, I'm glad that I'm opening up about it, because I don't think that those kinds of rumors need to continue. Chaos magic is for people like you and me, okay? It is for people that want to utilize everything that's in them, creative people, people who like to have a laugh with it, people that want to take power from wherever power comes from. That's who it's for. And, you know, if people I always think that chaos magic is a little bit like drugs. You know, if you are going towards doing a drug with fear in your heart, you're going to have a bad time. It's not for you. If you're scared of doing it, then it's not for you. So step away and let the hippies take the acid or whatever. And chaos magic, do you know what I mean? Don't do it if you've got fear in your heart because you'll have a bad trip. And chaos magic is the same. If you've got fear in your heart and you're listening to me thinking, I'm not so sure about this, that's cool because it's not for you. But if you're listening to it and thinking so much is clicking into place, like she's talking about the stuff that's already going on in my head, then go towards it. It is for you. That is your trip. Do it. Take it. Hallucinate. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. I just want to say, like, from my own perspective, I don't feel that doing something with a wink and a smile diminishes it. I don't think that doing something with a sense of humor or even being irreverent about it diminishes it. It's about a childlike spirit. It's about being open and having a sense of play, and you can go so much further. That is the land of imagination than if you have some rigid set idea in your mind of how it's supposed to be. Like, to me, that taking something that seriously, especially if you haven't experienced it yourself, if it's something that you learned from a teacher or you read from a book and then you try to apply it, you're limiting what you can experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what you're saying actually reminds me very much of a speech that I saw John Cleese doing once where he said that people have mixed up seriousness and solemnity. The two are not the same, but they're not the same in any world. Solemnity is just pomposity, and it assumes a great deal of superiority, and actually it dampens everything. Seriousness doesn't have anything to do with solemnity. It doesn't need to. You know, like when you go to a funeral, and you're at the wake of somebody that you really love, and you're all, like, getting a little bit tipsy and laughing about the stuff that person did when they were alive, and then maybe you have a sing-along around the piano. I don't know why I'm making Victorian London, but that's what we still do over here, guys. Okay, I want you to know we're all around the uproar at piano. Yeah, it's the same thing. Of course it's serious. Somebody's died. You're paying your respects. Of course it's serious. But it doesn't have to be solemn, and that's what people need to know about magic. That's what I would love to... for people to know about magic. If I died right now and somebody could say that I left them with any clear view of what magic is all about, I would say seriousness and solemnity do not need to share a bed.
That is awesome. Thank you so much, by the way. I see we're running out of time for talking about chaos magic with me when I know you're known for and your business is all about the tarot. So I can't let you go without telling people a little bit about what you do in that regard, because you are the Four Queens. You are, I mean, fast. So many people have, like, really grabbed on to you in this way, and because you have such a fresh perspective on everything, but the tarot in particular. Can you tell us a little bit about that? We only have, like, 3 minutes left.
Oh, right, okay. Well, just really quickly then, I offer tarot readings and I teach tarot on YouTube. I'm just a huge proponent of it. And if I was going to talk about maybe how tarot and chaos magic combine, actually not to plug something else that I'm doing, but I'm writing for the Circle of Friends newsletter, you know, Lunar Wisdom's newsletter.
Yes.
And if anybody would like to know more about mindscaping and role-playing in chaos magic, that is the latest article that I've put on there. And when you read through it, there's a part in there about path working with tarot and how it's very closely linked to mindscaping and chaos magic. So if that is something that anybody with an interest in tarot who kind of likes this flavor of chaos magic would know about, get on to the newsletter. I'll link it on my Facebook page as soon as I'm done with this interview so that you guys can get onto the subscriber list, because I can combine tarot and chaos magic in different ways, and that's probably something I will be talking about more in the future. But yeah, I'm just obsessed with tarot. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with tarot. If you don't already know, then I'm telling you now.
Yeah, she gives amazing readings as well. And I actually interviewed Sherry, was it last week? I think it was last week I interviewed her. So there's links to find Sherry also back on the last episode, and you can get to the magazine that way as well.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's just awesome. She's a great editor, and I'm really loving being part of it. I was so privileged to be asked, and it is a place where I am regularly writing about chaos magic, guys. And if you want more on tarot, you can go over to my blog, thefourqueens.com, and you can check my tarot content out there. You can use the search bar to search for different cards and my views on different cards and stuff like that. And obviously YouTube is, you know, I'm constantly filling it up with tarot videos, so check it out.
Right, and you're the Four Queens on YouTube as well.
I'm the Four Queens on YouTube, Etsy, and Blogger. Where else am I? No, that's it. I like to keep it small. I'm not really a tweeter.
I recommend people check out your videos. Your writing is awesome. Go to her blog for sure. Check that out. But don't miss her videos as well. They are fully entertaining and educational, and she is so rock and roll and cool. Thank you so much, Kelly Ann, for being on my little show today.
Thank you.
You're
for
one of my
me.
Favorite people.
One of my favorite people.
Yay! Well, you are a kick-ass switch. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and I will talk to you next Tuesday when it's just me, myself, and I going back to business as usual. See you next Tuesday. Much love. Peace.